Hey, you guys, movie retrospective time. Doing another Stephen King adaptation. Would you say this is one of the better ones or better one of the worst ones? One of the worst
One of the
ones.
better ones.
I think this is actually one of the better
Yeah.
ones. It's one that doesn't really get talked about all that much. I feel like it's one that sort of, because, like, I don't know. I feel like when we were talking about Graveyard Shift, that so many adaptations have been made of Stephen King stuff that it's like easy for someone to like fall through the cracks, especially if they're not like super spectacular. But I think this is a pretty solid one, actually.
Well, it's a Johnny Depp movie.
Yeah, and I
Back when
mean,
that meant something.
well, you know, and it's
Yeah.
funny because this came out, this is Secret Window, by the way,
Yeah.
which is based on the novella called Secret Window, Secret Garden. That came out, when did that come out? 1990. I think it was in one of his, he did those books that had like four novellas in them. This one was
Yeah.
called Four Past Midnight. I think it was
Yeah.
the same book that had the Langoliers and a couple other stories in it that I don't think have been adapted. But yeah, so this is based on that novella that came out in 1990. And it's weird because I kind of feel like Secret Window, it's the movie and the story. I almost kind of feel like it's very, very similar to The Dark Half.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, even the movie is
About a
kind of like,
writer.
yeah, and it's, I know a lot of Stephen King stuff is about a writer, but the way that this story plays out reminds me very much of The Dark Half. Like, it's a really similar.
What year did this come out?
The movie came out in 2004.
Okay.
Yeah. So, this was actually directed by David Koepp, who also did one of my favorite horror movies of all time, Stir of Echoes. Probably better known as a screenwriter, I feel like. He did like some of the Jurassic Park movies and shit like that. So he's like, done screenwriting in a lot of fucking movies and directed some of them not so good, but he did do Stir of Echoes, which is a great movie. If you haven't seen it, I recommend it all the time. But yeah, so this movie came out right when it was just maybe like a year after the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie. So, Johnny Depp was really like having a big moment. So I kind of feel like they pushed the fact of him being in this movie even more than it being a Stephen King adaptation. I don't even think they put like from the story by Stephen King like on the poster or anything, if I'm remembering
Yeah, that
correctly.
might have been a detriment at that in 2004.
Maybe, yeah, because I kind of feel like most of his stuff, like when that would have been a big selling point, would have been like in the 80s or maybe the
Yeah.
90s. But by the time the 2000s had rolled around, I think people didn't really care anymore.
Yeah, he was kind of the Stephen King name. The Stephen King name kind of waxed and waned over
Yeah.
the years in terms of quality. You know what I mean? So maybe it just the timing wasn't right to sell this as a Stephen King adaptation,
Yeah, because they
which I
really
think the time
didn't.
is back, actually. It got, you
Well,
know,
yeah, like I said, they've
right.
done a shit ton of Stephen
Yeah.
King adaptations lately. Like
Yeah.
Netflix has done a bunch of them, and it's like you got big fucking directors doing it. They did Doctor Sleep, they did all kind of shit like that.
Yeah. Which that extended version of fucking Doctor Sleep, not the theatrical cut, but the extended cut is good. It's
Yeah.
much better than the theatrical cut.
Now, I kind of feel like, okay, so to talk about this movie, we're gonna have to spoil it. And I'm probably also gonna have to spoil the story, which I have read, but I read it a long time ago. The movie and the story, even though the plot is the same, the movie actually changes the ending in a way that I kind of prefer. Honestly, the movie has a darker ending than the story does. And even though the plot's kind of the same, like the mechanism of it is a little bit different, which, like I said, kind of shades into why it reminds me so much of The Dark Half, but I'll get into that in a bit. So what we got, Johnny Depp is playing a writer, like many of Stephen King's protagonists are, and his name is Mort Rainey or Morton Rainey. He's like a crime writer, I guess, like most he does writes noir type stuff or mysteries. So at the beginning of the movie, you have this scene where he's finding his wife banging some other dude, like in a motel someplace, and he gets real upset about it. And then they cut to 6 months later, and apparently, what's been happening is that Johnny Depp, or
We're gonna
let's
call
call him
it.
Johnny
We're gonna call him Johnny Depp.
Depp.
He's playing
His
himself.
character has a name,
Yeah.
but we're just gonna call him Johnny Depp because he's fucking Johnny
It's
Depp.
kind of like Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise always plays himself. Johnny Depp plays himself.
Yeah, and it's pretty
Yeah.
much just kind of like it's the Johnny Deppiness or the Tom Cruisiness is just
Yeah.
like so overwhelming that like you can't
Yeah.
even usually remember the names of their characters.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So Johnny Depp's, they cut to 6 months later. Apparently, the cheating wife has gotten to keep the nice house, which I guess is in upstate New York or somewhere like that. I think is where it's set. The story's set in Maine, obviously, but I think the movie's upstate New York. While Johnny Depp has gone off to their vacation cabin, I guess. It's sort of like this isolated sort of place. And it doesn't seem like he's doing too well. Laying around in the same ratty bathrobe, sleeping on the couch all day. Has written maybe one paragraph of something that he thinks sucks, and then he deletes it. So he's just there kind of like talking to himself, talking to the dog, or whatever.
Yeah, it's 2004 when you're seeing
eating Doritos.
It's 2004, but he's living in 1994, actually. You notice that?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's basically living like it's 1994.
Yeah.
Waiting around.
Yeah, definitely.
No social media.
Yeah, it's just everybody's just kind of laying around. And honestly, yeah. I think they do a scene like later where it shows that his wife, like back when they were first married, when they were still married, the wife had that robe on. So that's actually his wife's robe that he's wearing, but it's all like torn up and stuff. So it's like, who knows how long he's been? Because it looks like he doesn't change his clothes or comb his hair or anything like that. He looks like he's kind of like, you know, losing his marbles a little bit. So he's up there. He's got all these kind of problems. And then a really big problem arrives in the form of John Turturro, playing a character named John Shooter, who comes in with his real thick Mississippi accent.
Yeah, he's fucking Stephen King and his Yankee fucking racially stereotyping Southerners again. Fucking, yeah.
Although...
Bad guys are always got the Southern accent.
Although, in the story's defense, and this is, like I said, a spoiler alert, John Shooter is not a real person.
Right.
He is a projection.
Yeah, well, so was the bad guy from the fucking Dark Half, and he was from Jones County, Mississippi.
Yeah.
Remember that?
I forgot. I hadn't seen The Dark Half in a long time. I remember. Because, now, wasn't...
He was the original Mississippi badass.
Wasn't Timothy Hutton in The Dark Half? Because Timothy Hutton is in this movie, too.
Yeah.
Playing the dude that Johnny Depp's wife was cheating on him with.
I don't know.
So, yeah. So, he's not in it a lot, but he's in this one as well. I'm pretty sure he was also in The Dark Half.
I guess if you grow up in Maine, anybody from Mississippi is a badass.
I don't know.
I tend to agree. If you were growing up in Maine, anybody from Mississippi is a badass from your point of view.
But yeah, so this John Shooter fella shows up on his doorstep and basically says, you stole my story. You plagiarized. Like, I wrote this story that was called... Now, his story was called Sowing Season. Not sowing like sewing, but sowing like farm kind of shit. And he's like, and this is like pretty much the same as mine. Now, obviously, Johnny Depp does not... he's like, you're crazy, get the fuck off, you know what I mean? And it seems like they kind of imply later on too that he had like similar run-ins before where they get like, you know, nutty fans and shit like that, which is actually based on real life, because I think Stephen King had one woman that for like a very long period of time kept saying that he stole all of her stories. You know what I mean? Like, so she was just some nutcase. But, so he's kind of, like, writing from experience. And I think he had, I don't know if it was the same person, but it's one of them, like, broke into their house or did something like that. Or not their main house, but their vacation house. So that's kind of where he got the idea from this. That's what I heard. So he's just like, yeah, whatever, you're just some nutcase, and just, like, piss off. But then he kind of gets curious about it. And he looks up that he had written this story many years before called Secret Window. And he goes and finds it, and he's, like, reading it. It's, like, been, anthologized in one of his later books. And it is almost exactly the same. Like, a little bit of it is different, and the ending is different. And he's just like, huh, maybe is there any way that I could have done that? Because it does kind of come out later, it's implied, that he had an accusation of plagiarism before, and it had been settled out of court. So they leave it ambiguous as to whether he had actually stolen somebody else's story before or not. You know what I mean? So this whole thing happens. Now, so he starts to think, well, maybe there's some way that I could have read it or something like that. But so this dude keeps like hanging around. And then it comes to light that John Shooter says that he wrote this story in 1997. But then Johnny Depp is like, well, fuck you, because I wrote this story in 1994 and it was published in a mystery magazine and I have proof of it. Like, it's at my old house. So John Shooter is basically like, okay, well, I'll give you 3 days to come up with a proof. And if you don't have that, we're going to, like, you know, tangle and one of us is going to end up dead. He's like very threatening. So as it goes on, like, Johnny Depp is gonna go back to his old marital home where his wife still lives. And, you know, the new boyfriend comes by there. What was his name? Ted. I think his name was Ted. Comes by there all the time. So he's gonna go pick the magazine up. But then he goes, and then she's there, and he just, like, chickens out or whatever. And then it ends up later on that John Shooter not only kills Johnny Depp's dog, Chico, putting a fucking, what do you call it, screwdriver through its head or whatever. Yeah. But then, after he says that he's going to go get the magazine, John Shooter apparently burns down the house. And apparently the magazine that goes with it. I don't know, like, why. One thing about this, and like I said, in the story's defense, you know, John Shooter is not a real person. You know, spoiler alert, like I said. So Johnny Depp is just kind of, like, doing all this stuff himself, but, you know, he's dissociated. And I thought it was funny, and I think I thought it was funny when I read the story, too, that it's, like, it was such a big pain in the ass to get their hands on this magazine. I'm like, do you not have a library? I'm like, I'm sure the library would have a copy of it or whatever. But it's like, yeah, so the house burns down that has this, you know, that has the story in it. At which point Johnny Depp is, like, freaking out. He's like, oh my God, like, this dude is, like, really serious and he's really a threat. And so he goes and hires a guy who I guess is, like, a private detective, I think.
Yeah.
Who's played by Charles S. Dutton, who I love that guy. He's in, like, a bunch of stuff.
He's pretty much the same character that was out of Thinner.
Yeah.
That same thing happened to that guy who got cursed, hired a damn private investigator that, well, actually, no, I think he was a mafioso that was kind of like a private investigator. Wasn't he a mafia hitman?
Yeah, he might have been. But I haven't seen Thinner in a long time either. But yeah, I think he was a hitman. Yeah, I think he was a hitman.
But he had a lot of the skills of a private detective and a cop and a soldier all kind of come. But the characters kind of reminded me the same. Had the same function in the story.
Yeah, because you always kind of want... Yeah, and in this one, he was kind of... I guess he was a private detective, and yeah. I guess that he had hired him before, so I guess he was also, like, a friend of his, because they said, oh, is this, like, last time or whatever. And he's also, like, some muscle, so I'm guessing this guy is maybe if you need somebody to, like, you know, if you want him to go bump somebody off, it looked like he would probably do that, too. But you know what I mean? So he's basically like, okay, well, I'm going to come up and, you know, check out your cabin and, like, make sure the dude's not there and, you know, threaten him and get him to, like, back off you and shit like that. And maybe, you know, if we have to do something else, we have to do something else. But despite that, it's still getting really, like, you know, it just keeps escalating. And Charles S. Dutton's character, I can't remember what the character's name was, but I just remember the actor's name. But he basically, other than being the muscle, he also says, oh, well, I called your literary agent, and I'm going to get them to, you know, like, FedEx you or, you know, send you, like, really quickly another copy of the magazine so you can give it to that dude and maybe he'll piss off and leave you alone. So that whole thing is going to happen. So that's coming in the mail. And so then it turns out that nobody else around town has seen this John Shooter person. You know, Johnny Depp goes to the cops and, like, tries to describe him, but the cops don't really seem to give that much of a shit. Like, they're not even, like, really listening to him. And so he's trying to think of, like, anybody else who would have seen this person. Because it just seems like the dude just kind of pops up, like, on his property. Like, just out of nowhere. And so he remembers back to this one day. He's like, when I was kind of on the side of the road, like, talking to this guy. And this other dude in town, like a farmer, whoever, like, drove by and saw both of us. So it's like, let's bring that guy in and he can help you, like, you know, because he's seen him and he can describe him and shit like that. So you can start looking for him. But then it turns out so Johnny Depp and, like, Bill S. Dutton, you know, his muscle, are going to meet with this dude that supposedly saw the two of them and kind of get their shit together. But then Johnny Depp turns up at the meeting place and nobody's there. You know, they never turned up. So then it turns out that John Shooter apparently has killed both of these people and has kind of, like, you know, like, used Johnny Depp's stuff, like his little hatchet and, like, his screwdriver or whatever. So it looks like Johnny Depp did it. And he's like, look, I'm going to, like, tell the cops because I can just disappear. You better get rid of these bodies and all this other kind of shit. So that's what Johnny Depp ends up having to, like, push the car into the fucking ravine or whatever. Like, the big fuck. What are those things called? Like, with the cliff with the water at the bottom? You know what
cliff
I mean?
With the water.
I can't think of it. I know cliff that. With the water I know there's a water. Word for that. It's not a ravine. It's some, no, but it's
down,
something
down in the fucking ditch. We just call it the ditch.
Right? It wasn't. No, it was way, way, way beyond a ditch. It was just like a big cliff with like a lake at the bottom. You know what I'm saying?
What's it for?
That's where he like pushed the truck into with the bodies okay. in it.
I don't know what to tell you, Jenny.
I don't know. I don't know. It's like a quarry, but it has water at the bottom. That's all I'm saying.
Cenote?
Well, that's the word that okay. I thought of, but I'm like, but that's not exactly what
cenote
that is.
Cenote is more like a spring.
That's what I mean. Right. That's not exactly yeah. like that. So anyway, he just like pushes it off a cliff and into like the water.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, while he's trying to like push it over, like his watch gets caught like on the thing. So it's like if they ever find it, you know, it'll identify him or whatever. So now that that whole fucking shit has happened, then it's like his ex-wife, whose name is Amy, is starting to worry about him because think he's like kind of losing his marbles or whatever. And then she's worried that their house burned down and like there's this guy that's out after you and all this other kind of crap. So it turns out too that I think Johnny Depp for a time thinks that Ted, his wife's new boyfriend, was the one that hired John Shooter just to like come up there and fuck with him. Because another thing is that Johnny Depp is supposed to be like signing the divorce papers, but he's like been putting it off. So there's that whole issue too. So he actually kind of gets in a little bit of a tussle with Ted because he thinks that Ted is behind everything. Mm. So basically what happens from there is that his wife starts freaking out and it's like, okay, I'm going to come up there and see what the fuck is going on. But right before she gets there, the big reveal of the movie is that, like I said, John Shooter actually never existed. He's not a real person. He's basically just a symptom of Johnny Depp's like dissociative identity disorder. And so Johnny Depp has been the one doing all this stuff. He was the one that killed the dog. He was the one that killed his bodyguard dude. He was the one that killed the guy, the witness guy. He was the one that burned the house down.
Yeah, spoiler.
And he did all this stuff. Yeah, well, I said that like a bunch of times. Yeah. I said I was going to spoil it, like I said. So when his wife gets there, he's kind of clicked over into John Shooter mode and decides he's going to kill her, because that's kind of like, that's why he had the name Shooter, because it sounds like shoot her. So that's kind of what he wanted to do, and like it was sublimated. So he was kind of like a split personality sort of thing like this whole time. Now, in the original short story, I'm pretty sure that much like in The Dark Half, or at least what I'm remembering of The Dark Half, I thought that in the story, Mort, he had like actually manifested this person as like a real person. He wasn't a real person. Like he came out of his imagination, but he was actually a real dude that could do things. You know what I'm saying? He like manifested them. Whereas in the movie, it's made pretty clear that Johnny Depp's character is just acting like that guy. So that guy doesn't actually exist. That's just who he sees when he's... So he made up that dude.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So, and the reason that he made him from Mississippi was because he misperceived that his ex-wife's boyfriend was from Mississippi. Because there's a scene where he just says, what's that accent? Is that Mississippi? And the guy said, no, I'm from Tennessee.
Right.
But he thought that he was from Mississippi, and that's why he made the bad guy, like, from Mississippi. That's what I was saying. Pretty sure, though, that in the original story, at least what I remember of it, had a happier ending. Like I said, in the story, John Shooter was an actual person, even though he kind of, like, sprang from the imagination of Mort Rainey. In this one, he's not a real person. It's actually just Johnny Depp doing all of it. But at the end of the original short story, the wife and Ted and shit like that do come up there, but I think they survive. Spoiler alert again, in the movie, Johnny Depp kills them both. Like, basically. He kills her. Well, he wounds her. And then she was just going to go up to the cabin, like, by herself. You know, and tell Ted, she's like, look, I just want him to go, I want to go up there, see if he's okay, get him to sign the divorce papers, and then I'm going to come back. But Ted thinks something is the matter, so he, like, follows her without her knowing. She actually gets up there, and Johnny Depp starts, like, fucking her up, because he's got the hat on now, like, the John Shooter hat. And so he starts fucking her up, like stabs her in the ankle and, you know, starts dragging her around and everything. And so she's like, he's going to drag her outside and she's wounded. And then Ted runs up and Johnny Depp essentially like just bashes him in the face with a shovel. And then it looks like they don't actually show it, but it looks like he either like beheads him with the shovel or just like bludgeons him to death or whatever. And then also ends up killing the wife. And then he buries them in this garden that's like underneath the whatever. And it's kind of funny because they jump ahead like a little while. And I guess like now he's kind of like gotten some of his life together a little bit. Like he got braces to fix his teeth and he's combing his hair now. And it looks like he's washing his clothes and he's cleaned his like cabin up because it was a disaster and all this other shit. But now every time he goes into town, everybody looks at him all funny because, you know, they obviously suspect that he is responsible for all these missing people, even though they haven't found any of the bodies. So basically the sheriff is just like, we know you did it. We just can't prove it because we don't have the bodies. So it's like, can you like not come into town anymore? Cause you're making everybody really uncomfortable. And, so basically that, like, that's kind of how it ends. But then they show, you know, the garden, like out the little window or whatever. And, this, all this corn has grown and it's this thing where Johnny Depp's like eating the corn cob. So he's basically saying that he's like, the bodies were under there fertilizing the corn. And then it's like, he's kind of getting rid of the bodies that way. I think in the original version of the movie, at least what I heard was that, yeah, because at the end it like pans down like to the you know corn cobs or whatever, and then like it went to the dirt, and I think it showed the bodies like under there, but I think in the theatrical version they don't show that because yeah. I guess they thought it was like
Johnny Depp eating the corn.
Yeah, he just like shows it go like yeah. like crunch, and that's like the end of it. Yeah. Because so I thought that was kind of interesting. I was watching another review of this movie where they said they thought it was interesting that the ending of the story within the movie, like the one that John Shooter says that, you know, that Johnny Depp stole from him. That was like a big bone of contention because John Shooter was saying that it's like, you know, you stole my story and you fucked the ending up because my ending was much better. And that was kind of one of the things he wanted him to do was change the ending to his ending, which he thought was better, and then like republish and put his name, come out with his name on it and stuff like that. But it's like, I just thought it was funny that that was like such a big deal in the movie. And then in the actual movie, it's very meta. In the actual movie, they actually did change the ending of Stephen King's original story, and they changed it for the movie to where, and they actually changed it in the same way that the in story was changed, in the sense that, you know, I think in the original story he didn't kill him, and that, or he didn't kill his wife, and then he wanted to change it to he did kill his wife, and that's exactly the same thing that they did in real life. So like I said, I thought that was kind of funny and like kind of meta. So as I said, this does remind me very much of The Dark Half. Like thematically, it's very, very similar. Because isn't that it? And I haven't read The Dark Half in a long time or seen the movie, but that's essentially the same thing, right? Is he real like close. A writer or something like that? But he like manifests like another side of himself, but he yeah, doesn't really exist.
He manifests a fucking evil character from a series of books that fucking his fans loved it.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
He didn't really like that character. That character was kind of like an anti-version of him. It was just this badass fucking from Mississippi in a hot rod who would just go around and fucking basically rape barmaids and fucking beat dudes up. She was almost like an 80s action anti-hero type guy. I think he was just kind of a fucking wandering badass. That's how I remembered that character. And he was gonna kill the character in the series, kill the character off. He did kill the character off, and then they even had a ceremony, like a fake funeral for that character, because he didn't want to write any more of those books. And that character comes out of another dimension and fucking tries to fight for his life to fucking get him to write the books again.
That's right.
Out of the two stories, I'd rather watch The Dark Half.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, this is actually a pretty solid Stephen King adaptation.
It's a solid movie, yeah, but
I haven't seen The Dark Half in a long time. Yeah. I remember that one being a little bit more fun, I think, just because it was like a little...
It was more fun, more paranormal stuff happening. It wasn't as well shot. I mean, it's not a modern movie. This is a lot more of a modern type movie.
Yeah, because Dark Half, that was 90s, right? Yeah. I want to say, maybe.
And it kind of had... I think it was 90s, very early 90s maybe, it kind of had the cheese factor that some of the Stephen King movies had. Like, this wasn't a Carrie. This definitely wasn't Carrie. It definitely wasn't fucking Christine or anything. It was closer to Maximum Overdrive, but not that bad. You know what I mean? That's what the Dark Half was. Dark Half was actually probably, in terms of quality, probably closer to, like, Thinner.
Yeah, which I kind of remember that being sort of fun, too.
Okay, yeah.
In some ways, depending on what the story is, I think in some ways it's better to go a little bit campy or funny with it, just so it's, like, kind of fun.
Yeah.
This one had... Well, I kind of like this one, though, because this one has humor in it, but the humor is pretty subdued.
Yeah.
And I actually kind of like... Honestly, I gotta say, I think this is one of Johnny Depp's best performances, just because I like the subtle humor of the character. And I like... you know, I like the whole thing where you think that he's, like, a sympathetic character this whole time. Like, you know, a poor guy, like, his wife cheated on him, and now he's, like, he can't get his life together, and now this crazy person has, like, come to his cabin and is, like, threatening his life, like, over this story or whatever. But then it turns out that he's a lunatic. You know what I mean? So I kind of like that sort of switcheroo aspect. But, I mean, some of the shit that he does in this just, like, made me laugh out loud. Like, the shit where he's, like, sleeping on the couch, like, all day, and then, like, the phone rings or somebody comes to the door or something, and he goes, he's like interrupted, then he goes back to the couch, he's like, now where was I, and then just lays back down on the couch. So it's just like little, like, funny things like that. And he has like all these weird little little physical tics and like weird, it's like he does this weird thing with his jaw, and like, you know, every time he washes his hands he like makes this weird like he's you know, drying them off like that, like he can't dry them off. So he's got like all these little subtle tics at the beginning that kind of, I guess, clue you in that he's not all there. But I think it's pretty, he's not like at his super deppiest,
no.
You know what I mean? Where he's real, he's eccentric, but it's not like over the top eccentric.
Remember the movie where he played like, the book collector and they were looking for the satanic book?
The Ninth Gate.
Ninth Gate.
Yeah. We just talked about that not too long ago.
It's almost kind of reminded me a little bit of the Ninth Gate in some weird way in terms of quality level, but I like watching the Ninth Gate.
Yeah, this
is not a, it's a solid flick. It's not a bad flick. It's a solid flick. But like I said, it's real close to the Dark Half. I think I'd rather see the Dark Half.
Yeah, we'll have to do that one of these days too. Because like I said, I remember liking that one. Was that the one that had like the birds, like the psychopomps?
The birds, yeah. Birds came and tore them apart, and you just turned into paper.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that one being a little bit more like, because this one is pretty.
It was a battle of will between two different dimensions. The guy just refused to write him, and he just fucking falling apart.
Remember, yeah.
He had his kid and was trying to threaten him to
continue
writing and stuff. And I think the reason why The Dark Half was good is because it was obviously a paranormal story, and it was paranormal from fucking the very beginning of the story. The movie had a right tone for the time, and the villain fucking was right. He was just this... Here, the thing is, he did not have a fucking accurate Mississippi accent, but he did have a fucking... kind of like a cross between a hot rod and a luxury car, or some kind of rare fucking car, from what I remember. I don't think they made very many. It was a fucking weird-looking 70s car. And it said, highly toned son of a bitch on the back of it. Because he had it fucking tuned. And he just wore a fucking black suit and a fucking... kind of dressed like Stevie Ray Vaughan. He had a black suit with fucking cowboy boots on the outside of his fucking suit pants. Remember that? The fucking hat. Fucking guns. Carried a 45 and a knife. And he started to fall apart. He's wearing his black leather gloves. He was like an outlaw.
Yeah.
But, you know, more of a 70s or 80s type outlaw. And he was a good character.
This one, I kind of feel like, well, the John Shooter character kind of comes across more as almost like a weird, like an evil preacher type character. Like, he looks very dour.
Or an evil super fan. Kind of comes across that.
Yeah.
Slightly nerdy. Like a... Like an evil obsessed super fan kind of comes across that, and a nerd, somebody who would you know obsess over details and shit, over books and shit that they didn't write. It's hard to say. You weren't sure if he was bullshitting or if it was real. I thought he was bullshitting. I thought at first I just thought he thought that that writer was stealing his books.
Right.
You know?
But then it turned out that... And it was kind of just like, because Johnny Depp was, in a lot of ways, everything that he came up with about that character was either plucked from his own life or from shit that he wasn't dealing with, or you know, or the fact that he made the guy like think that he was plagiarizing him was because he had been accused of plagiarism before, and it had really like struck a chord in him, so that's why, that's how that manifested.
Watching the movie didn't dawn on me that the guy was a figment of his imagination. It took a while.
I kind of feel like the movie's old, and a lot of people have read the story, and a lot of people have seen the movie, so it's like, I feel like most people know what the twist is now. I'm not sure, because I'd already read the story, so I don't really know how obvious it is that that's not the same, that it's, you know, that that's not a real person. I don't know. I watched a couple other reviews of it, and, like, some people that hadn't read the story, they said they didn't see it coming, but I don't know. I kind of feel like nowadays, like, maybe you would see it coming. I'm not really sure, because that's a pretty common... I feel like that's a pretty common twist nowadays. It's like, oh, the person was fake all along, especially because I think the one shot that gives it away is a little bit is the shot where... he's supposedly talking to John Shooter, like, on the side of the road, and then that guy, what's that guy's name, Greenleaf, or whatever, Tom Greenleaf, whatever that guy's name is, when he goes by in the truck, and it's almost kind of like, I don't want to say it's, like, slow motion, but they kind of make a big deal of this other guy going by in the truck and, like, seeing them, and the fact that they made kind of, like, a big deal about just a car going by, kind of makes you think, oh, maybe that dude's not really there, because that's going to come into play later, which it does. So I don't know. So I don't know how obvious it is. But like you said, the Dark Half is a much more like openly paranormal story, whereas this one is more psychological because, like I said, in the end, you know, that person doesn't exist. It's just a manifestation of his craziness. And he's been the one doing it all along. Like, he just goes and puts the hat on and he becomes that other person. But he just sees himself as that other person.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're a Stephen King fan or Johnny Depp fan, you haven't seen this and you'd like it. It's pretty good.
Yeah. I'm not sure how widespread the knowledge is that it's based on a Stephen King story.
It's not real obvious.
But it's not, I mean, it has all the Stephen King kind of tropes in there, like a writer that has writer's block and all this other kind of stuff. So there's very Stephen King-y aspects in it, but I don't know. Maybe you wouldn't know if you just watched it and you didn't know. You wouldn't know if it was based on Stephen King or not. I'm not really sure.
I'd still going to say I'd rather see The Dark Half. If you guys haven't seen The Dark Half, watch that first.
Well, like I said, we should we should do one of those. We should do a retrospective
on
one of those.
We need to do The Dark Half. We need to do The Thinner.
We need to do Thinner,
and we need to do Firestarter. I don't think we did Firestarter, did we? I don't think we did.
I thought we had done Firestarter, but I'd have to go back and look.
I don't think we did.
We definitely haven't done Dark Half, and we definitely haven't done Thinner.
Yeah.
Although I just watched Thinner not too long ago, like maybe last year or something like that.
I remember liking it.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I've seen I said, it's kind of like
the book was good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that was definitely worth... Yeah. Every time I was, like, reading that, I was like, man, I wish some gypsy would give me... put a curse on me to, like, lose weight. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, but it didn't stop.
Well, I know. Well, that's the downside. Yeah. That's the downside of that. All right, so that'll do it for this movie retrospective, and we will see you guys on the next one. Bye.